Our journey through Paul's letter to the Romans comes to an end today. We've reached the final chapter, which begins with Paul offering some personal greetings to some of his friends and colleagues in ministry. He also shares some final instructions with the church in Rome. And then he closes with a doxology, which is what I'd like us to focus on today. Having a doxology at the end of this letter suggests that it was written and used in worship. Now, I suspect that Paul wanted to ensure that any time his letter was read, people would keep their focus on glorifying and praising God. So with that in mind, let us now listen to our scripture text. I'll read verses 25 through 27 of chapter 16. And this is what Paul wrote. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Now, I think it's fitting that Paul closes this letter with a doxology. And a doxology, of course, is a poetic word of praise. The Greek word for doxology literally means saying glory. And that's what Paul does here at the end of Romans. Now, he used the first 15 chapters to talk about his understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ in ways that people can live this out. But here at the end, in chapter 16, he stops writing theology and he simply celebrates what God has done through Jesus Christ. He wants to celebrate God's plan of salvation, a plan that was announced by the prophets, fulfilled in Christ, and is now available to all people. And he does a beautiful job expressing this gratitude in his doxology. But I want to point out that the end of Romans is not the only place in the Bible where you'll find a doxology. There are actually quite a number of doxologies in both the Old and New Testaments, and I'd like to give you a few examples. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 36 says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." 1 Peter 4:11 reads, "God may be glorified in all things. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." And then Jude ends his letter by saying, "To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen." Now, doxologies also play an important part in worship. Now, what comes to mind for many of us Protestant Christians is the hymn that we sing after we collect the offering. It's hymn number 253 in the Baptist hymnal. Most of us know this hymn by heart. It goes, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." But there are other doxologies that are used in the worship services of other denominations. One is known as the Greater Doxology, or Gloria in Excelsis. This song is sung in Roman Catholic and Anglican churches. Another doxology that's used in worship is called the Lesser Doxology, or the Gloria Patri. It's often sung after the reading of a psalm, and it goes, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." So, doxologies play an important part in both Scripture and worship. But doxology goes beyond this. Doxology should weave its way into every corner of our lives. And this is something Paul tried to practice for himself. Now, Paul was a deep thinker, And he wrote letters as a way of sharing his wisdom with churches that were spread all across the Mediterranean world. He wanted to build up the body of Christ and draw people closer to God. When he wrote his letters to these churches, he often got so immersed in the specific matters that he was writing about, like dealing with a church conflict, that he would momentarily lose sight of the good news. But then a sense of awe and glory would come on him, and he would pause to praise God. Now, let me give you an example of this. It comes earlier in the letter to the letter of the Romans. And he was, at this point, doing some deep theological writing in chapter 11, where he was talking about the salvation of the Gentiles, how Israel would eventually be saved, and how all people are imprisoned in disobedience. But right in the middle of this came a moment of doxology. Paul proclaims in verse 36, "Everything comes from God. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes," he says. Now later on, as Paul neared the end of this letter, he offered some final instructions to the church and included some personal greetings to his friends and co-workers, as I mentioned earlier. And one of the things that stands out to me is the kind and generous words that he used. Paul knew he was part of a larger Christian fellowship in which God's Spirit was at work. And I can't help but think that his gratitude for those friends led directly to the doxology that he wrote at the end, where it says, "Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." Now, doxologies are not mantras. Paul's doxology isn't a statement asserting that he would live in this way or do that certain thing. It has nothing to do with Paul, but everything to do with God. Paul wanted to praise God. He wanted to celebrate what the Lord has done through Jesus Christ. And so he wrote a doxology because it helped him glorify God. It helped him remember who God is. Now, like Paul, there are a number of people in the Bible who have weaved doxology into their lives, helping them remember who God is. The writers of the Psalms are one such example. When they wrote their prayers and their pleadings with God, they often paused to remember and to celebrate something important about the Lord. In Psalm 136, for instance, the writer paused frequently to say, "For his steadfast love endures forever." In fact, that line is repeated 26 times in that one psalm. Now, many years later, when the shepherds of Bethlehem were tending to their flock, an angel appeared to them and told them the good news about Jesus' birth. And in response to that news, the heavenly host shouted, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among all those whom he favors." And the shepherds then made their own response by glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. Some years later, when John of Patmos was writing down the vision that he had received, he also burst out in praise. In Revelation chapter 5, he wrote, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." Now, doxology comes not only in moments of celebration, but also when times are hard, when things aren't going well, when dreams are broken. In times like this, remembering who God is will strengthen and sustain us. When the prophet Amos was lamenting Israel's sin, he still found a reason to glorify God by remembering all that God does. In Amos 4:13, the prophet praised God who forms the mountains, creates the wind, reveals his thoughts to mortals, makes the morning darkness, and treads on the heights of the earth, as the scripture says. My point is that no matter what we're going through, there's room for doxology. We may not always be in the mood to celebrate, but doxology helps us remember God. It helps us remember who God is and what God has done and what God promises to do for us. I think there's no better time to remember God than when we're going through a rough patch in life, because God is the one who can strengthen us, as Paul has said here in Romans. Paul wrote another doxology in Ephesians 3:20 that I think is especially helpful when life is hard, like it is right now. In this scripture, he wrote that God, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine. Years ago, when my father died, I was overwhelmed with grief and sorrow. It was one of the saddest and darkest times for me. But my family's pastor had gathered with us, and he led us in a time of sharing. He invited us to voice what we were most thankful for. And quickly, memories of all the good things about my dad flooded my mind. And before I knew it, I found myself celebrating God's promises. The words of Paul's doxology came alive to me in that moment. I felt strengthened and comforted by the presence of Christ. Doxology helps us remember God. It helps us remember who God is. And there's always a place for it in our lives. Now, like John of Patmos, when we're filled with joy and happiness that come when something amazing happens, doxology helps us celebrate God's goodness. And like Amos, when life is hard and things aren't going like they should, doxology helps us remember that God is working for something better. And like Paul, when we're deep in thought and focused on other matters, doxology helps us turn our attention back to the Lord. No matter what we're going through, there is a place for doxology. And doxology helps us recognize that we can glorify and worship God in all of life. We shouldn't limit our worship to just 1 hour on Sunday mornings, because there's so many other ways we can do this. In fact, we can glorify God with the way we live every moment of our lives. And I think when we see life in this way, we will want to break out in doxology from time to time. And as we weave doxology into our lives, we do discover a strength that will sustain us. We discover strength as we remember the gospel message that was proclaimed to us and shared through the scriptures. We discover strength as we encounter the presence of Jesus Christ, who is with us and who reveals the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, as it says in our passage. And we discover strength through the gift of faith found in a relationship with God. But exactly how do we weave doxology into our lives? Well, we make room for doxology when we sit down at the dinner table and reflect on the highs and lows of our day. We make room for doxology when we practice Sabbath by slowing down, relaxing, and enjoying the gift of God's creation. We make room for doxology as we attend to our work and carry out our jobs. We make room for doxology during times of hurt, pain, and grief by remembering who God is and what God has promised. We even make room for doxology in the midst of a global pandemic by remembering that this too shall pass. Even when our favorite pastimes get canceled, even when we can't do the things that we want to do, there is room for doxology. Should we choose to not remember and glorify God. It'll simply be our loss. And the great preaching professor Fred Craddock made the point that without doxology, we might as well be dead. So let's remember that we always have an opportunity to glorify God and remember who the Lord is. What is it that you need to remember about God today? I invite you to turn that into your own doxology. Write it down. Sing it out loud. Glorify God. And as you do this, you'll discover the strength that is made available to us through Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads now and join me in prayer? Holy God, all praise rightfully belongs to you, and we celebrate all that you have done for us through Jesus Christ. We have been healed by your touch, comforted by your compassion, convicted by your teaching, and changed by your grace. We pray that we'll never forget who you are and what you have done. And in response to this, we pray that we will offer our lives as a doxology to you. May all that we do glorify you. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.